Welcome to another edition of the Hawk Off the Press podcast. I'm your host, Gazette Hawkeyes reporter John Seppi. I'm excited to welcome back to the podcast Chloe Peterson. Chloe, a University of Iowa graduate. Last time was still working at the Daily Iowan when she was on here. Now at the Indianapolis Star, covering, among other things, the Indiana Fever, which seems to, for some reason, have a lot more interest among people from Iowa.
Yeah, I can never guess why that would be.
Maybe it has something to do with number 22. So, first of all, kind of Caitlin Clark, now part of the Fever, walk through for Iowa fans kind of what's the situation that she's walking into there.
I think she's walking into a pretty favorable situation. I think, especially after the Fever got the number one pick, they kind of did their free agency acquisitions kind of based off the fact they would get her, even before she officially declared in February. So they have a pretty strong front court in Aaliyah Boston, who was obviously the 2023 number one pick. And then they also have Nalissa Smith, who was the 2022 number two pick. So that's something they like did not need at all. Like, to the sense where if they didn't get the number one pick, I feel like they would have traded their lottery pick there. But and then in the backcourt, they have Kelsey Mitchell, who's been there for 6-7 years. She was drafted in 2018, and she's kind of been the core for the Fever since Tamika Catchings left in 2016. But then they signed Katie Lou Samuelson, who's going to be like their stretch guard forward combo at three. So they kind of just set it up so she would just slot in there perfectly. So I think she's walking into a pretty good situation. And the only thing I would think of where, when it comes to the starting lineup, where she might not be in the starting lineup is they have Erica Wheeler, who is a near max contract. I think she makes around $200,000. She was the highest paid player in the WNBA last year. She was their point guard last year, but she was not that great of a facilitator, I would say. The Fever were 11th out of 12 in assist rate last year, and I think obviously Caitlin can fill that void for them maybe better than Erica Wheeler could.
You obviously saw the way that Clark was able to distribute so well to Sinano. Do you see that kind of continuing, Clark in Boston now being the new law firm?
Yeah, I think that was like one of the most exciting things about, you know, them drafting her. You have not only two straight number one picks, but they're two picks that will work so well together. And obviously Sinano was, you know, she was more of a traditional back to basket post, but Aaliyah can kind of do that as well. And she can, you know, stretch out, and then she kind of has the same abilities or the more versatility that Hannah Stelke had this past year. So Aaliyah can kind of be a combo of both Monica Sinano and Hannah Stelke. And I think that will really help when Clark comes in for training camp next week, 2 weeks.
Time is a blur to some extent. Yeah. So you've covered this past Fever season. Now you see kind of the energy around the team now. How much has Caitlin already kind of energized this team?
I think it was kind of night and day when she, especially when she declared in February. Fever season ticket sales like jumped up. They never released an actual number of how much they jumped up, but there was a significant spike in it. And they had, I believe, around 1,500 people at a draft party on Monday night when she was drafted. And obviously her jersey sold out in less than an hour after she was drafted. So there's a lot of excitement, I think, with Fever fans and kind of just fans here in general. I think fans who aren't necessarily Fever fans, maybe they're Pacers fans, they will come to Fever games maybe just to see her. Kind of like last year, I remember opening night, a lot of Indiana fans came to see Grace Berger, and I'm pretty sure that ended up being their best attended night of the season, was the opening night, and everyone was yelling for Grace Berger that time.
And it seems like with the broadcast schedule too, WNBA is putting a lot of resources, a lot of the TV slots toward the Fever and toward Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. They announced it before before the draft, and I did think it could be funny if the Fever really pulled one over on them, drafted someone else, saw how that would work. But I knew it wasn't going to actually happen. But I think it was really interesting how the Fever, they had one national TV game last year, and now they jumped up to 36, which that's even more than the Aces, the reigning champions, and the Liberty, the runners up. So they're really putting a lot of resources into Clark, which I think is a good idea. She obviously spiked the WNBA draft or WNBA draft ratings. And I think it was 600,000 was the most watched in 2004 when Diana Taurasi was drafted, and then spiked up to 2.4 million on Monday night. So it's going to be a good investment for the league, I think.
And then you were mentioning the draft. You were there in Brooklyn. What was kind of that scene like as what we kind of already assumed was going to happen becomes official and history gets made?
Yeah, it was a very chaotic night. I think the fans were really good in there. I think there were about 1,400 fans that they let in. And they, I think, obviously I haven't been to a WNBA draft before Monday night, but I think they really contributed to the, you know, environment in there. And it was kind of like everybody knew what was going to happen. They had the ESPN broadcast in there, and they were talking, and they piped it into the theater so you could hear it. And it was funny that they were like, they did this whole 5-minute segment on Clark and how she's going to get picked first, and she was just sitting there listening to it. So it was just something I thought was funny, but it was just a lot of, I think Caitlin was really excited for it to be kind of official. And I know from what I saw of her press conference this morning, she's excited to be able to stay in the Midwest and kind of stay relatively close to home. It's 5 hours from Iowa City and about 7 hours, 7.5 from West Des Moines. So it's a little bit far, but kind of one of the closest teams you can get other than the Lynx or the Chicago Sky.
And then for Iowa fans who are kind of just getting into WNBA, who aren't super familiar with this process, what does kind of this next month ahead look like for her?
Next month goes pretty fast. There's only, I'd say, 2.5 weeks of training camp. It starts on April 28th officially. And then their first preseason game is like 5 days later on May 3rd. So she's going to have 5 days of official practice before she has her first kind of action in a WNBA game. And then you have one more week of training camp, one more preseason game. And then they open on May 14th on the road. So I think that's going to be a very kind of scrunched up schedule for her. And she has to finish school as well. I know she mentioned she graduates on May 14th, but I don't think she'll be able to go to her graduation as they're supposed to be in Connecticut that day. But it's going to be a very, I'd say, hectic next month for her until everything settles down. She graduates and she can kind of get into a routine of being a full-fledged WNBA player.
You were mentioning the roster kind of being built in anticipation of Caitlin through free agency. What's kind of the schematic process of how much schematically has what the Fever done fit Clark's game, and how much has to change kind of in this whirlwind of next month?
I think it kind of fits perfectly for her. And it's just the thing of you have to just insert her into the team and just make sure everything gels and she's able to play at the pace of the WNBA and play kind of with the faster pace. I don't think she's going to have too much of a problem with it because she's already plays pretty fast anyway, but it's just kind of just inserting her and having them all gel in that time.
Is there like a one X factor that you think if Caitlin does this, it's going to be a really bright future, or it could be a really impactful rookie season?
I think what's going to be most impactful is just how she passes. She said her passing is her most, or her best, you know, thing coming into the WNBA. And I think that's going to show in how she can throw it to Aaliyah Boston, throw it to Nelissa Smith, or kind of open up the floor for Kelsey Mitchell. And I think one of the big things that the Fever really needed, and they got obviously with her, is 3-point shooting. Because Kelsey Mitchell, I remember she was the only player to attempt over 100 threes last season on the Fever roster. It was kind of in the thing where she was just standing behind the line, and they knew to guard her, and they knew not to guard anyone else, because no one really took threes other than that one time when Aaliyah Boston made a three of one of her, I think, 4 threes she made in the season to go to, in a last second ditch effort to go into overtime against Liberty. But I think if she can, you know, translate her 3-point game to the WNBA, that's going to be really impactful.
Well, Chloe, thanks for joining me.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning into another episode. Until next time, we will talk Hawks later.
Get a daily update from the Gazette with our daily news podcast. Add it to your podcast player or your Alexa-friendly device to get a bite-sized local news update each day. Check it out at thegazette.com/podcasts.